Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. A great service department that simply gets it done for your vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, with it all. And a sales staff that is not just there for the sale, but they're there for you. And it's all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Well, Steve mentioned yesterday we got a lot of good guests coming up throughout the rest of this week and next week. Today, starting with Chris Carlin, ESPN radio voice, formerly was on 94 WIP in Philly. He's been on WFAN in New York, but he's with ESPN radio now. And he's also the play-by-play voice of Rutgers football. He will join us today. And that should be a really intriguing interview because we talked a lot about things with the college football playoff and where that might go in the future. The Big Ten TV contract is coming up very shortly. He'll give us some good perspective, I think, on a Big Ten viewpoint and also a national viewpoint. So we got him coming up in a little bit. Then we got Penn State wrestling play-by-play man Jeff Byers back with us today. Interesting things to get into with him because there's some wrestlers that are heading to the transfer portal for Penn State. And also, too, you've got some guys trying to get onto the U.S. national team. So lots to get into with Jeff. And we also have Penn State softball coach Clarissa Corwell, who will join us today, too. Steve mentioned yesterday the 25-game improvement that we saw from this team this year, so we'll talk to her about that. So we got a lot to get into today with the show. But first, going to Penn State football, we now know a few more kickoff times and networks, starting with the opening game against Purdue, which, of course, we already knew was a Thursday night. That'll officially be 8 o'clock on Fox. Then the Ohio game is noon on ABC. The Minnesota game is a 7:30 kickoff at night, but TV network still to be determined. So there you go. So Penn State Purdue, Thursday night, September 1st at 8. Let's see if there's any other interesting games on the docket. Ohio State Notre Dame is 7:30 on ABC, the 3rd, which we kind of knew already from the transfer of powers of NFL and college football, that may be. Week 2, Iowa State is 4 o'clock on the 10th, September 10th, that is. Mentioned Penn State, Ohio is noon on ABC. And week 3 was already the Penn State-Auburn game. So we know four games already. And the Penn State-Minnesota game will be homecoming as well. 7:30 under the lights, Penn State and Minnesota. We just don't know the network yet. So you got four games you know already for Penn State football as far as kickoffs go. So that's exciting. Big one for me, of course, is when's the blue-white game going to be? Is that still going to be the Ohio State game maybe during the day? Because it wasn't on the Saturday Night Football schedule. Who knows? Still got a little bit of time to find out. And I believe, too, I think that might be a Fox game. I'm not entirely sure. We'll check with Steve with that. But there you go as far as the Penn State football is concerned for kickoffs as of right now. Now, we talked about this a couple days ago, regarding Josh Donaldson with the Yankees and the little scuffle he got into with Tim Anderson during the White Sox series at Yankee Stadium last week. He has now apologized to Jackie Robinson's wife and family for using his name, calling Tim Anderson Jackie in their confrontation, I guess, or whatever they had in years past. And it was part of a statement released by his agency, MVP Sports, Thursday. This according to ESPN.com. He was already suspended one game by Major League Baseball for the inappropriate comments made the previous weekend. So, there you go.
Your guy Donaldson.
Yeah, me.
Look, they're getting exactly... They're getting exactly what they're paying for. They knew they were getting the two T's with him. Talent and trouble. That's been his pattern.
Yep.
And so far he's been that. He's been talent and trouble. Not a big fan of Spider Tech, I heard. All right, so...
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I'm a little concerned, though, about the Joel Embiid tweet last night.
He had many.
Miami needs another star.
Oh, that one? I didn't take anything by it.
No, I think he wants out. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding you. Okay.
Listen, he misses his boy Jimmy Butler. And as much as the Sixers are to blame a little bit, Jimmy Buffer himself is also a goof. And he also played a part in why he wasn't with Philly. He never wanted to be in Philly. He's where he wanted to be, in Miami. Never been a fan of him either.
When the home game's over, he goes to South Beach. When the home game's over, Embiid goes to New Jersey. So you tell me who made the bad move. I mean, really, think of it from that perspective.
All I'm saying is he could have been in a, or should have, or could have stayed in a bigger TV market. He could have been playing with Joel Embiid. Instead, with an actual passionate fan base, instead of going to a spot where, yeah, he gets to party because it's South Beach, but, I mean, that basically is it. You get to play in South Beach in front of a bunch of fraudulent fans that don't show up in time for a playoff game and then exit when their team's losing and then try to get back in, oh my God, when they come back and win.
You do know that they had the best record in the East, right?
I know. I'm not saying he was a...
You do know that they're actually of the two teams still playing.
I realize that.
They just beat your team. They're better.
Yeah, I understand that.
They're better. They're not frauds.
I'm saying their fan base is frauds. The team's not. The team's good. I don't know if they're going to go to the NBA Finals after last night, but the team's good.
Okay. You're on a roll today. You're crushing it. All right, Penn State football games. The opener with Purdue is going to be 8 o'clock on Fox. Okay? The game with Ohio University on September 10th is going to be noon on ABC. The game at Auburn on the 17th, 3:30 on CBS. Central Michigan is to be determined, but it'll be on BTN. Penn State Northwestern is going to be on ESPN, one of them, ESPN, ESPN2, whatever, to be determined. Penn State at Michigan. Still waiting on that, and Ohio State. I believe Fox has the pick each weekend if they want it. And the Penn State-Minnesota game is going to be 7:30 at night on October 22nd. I sent you writing all these down.
Yeah, homecoming, too.
Yeah, homecoming. I had somebody say, homecoming's at night. I said,
what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Yeah,
zero.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with homecoming being at night. Who cares? The heck? Just, to, you know, you got it. It's May. You can't adjust the schedule? They didn't tell you 6 days out. Hey, by the way, the homecoming game is going to be at 7:30 at night. I change everything. It's May. If you need to make changes, you can do it. It's all good. So they are. That's what we know. Penn State baseball team won today. Matt Wood hit a 3-run homer, and I mean, he crushed it. It cleared the bullpen, and it cleared the seats at Charles Schwab Stadium. And very impressive. And the Penn State used only two pitchers today. That was it. Two pitchers they used today. That was it. So that means, and it's a double elimination tournament, as they go into the next round, you know, because it's a double elimination, so they got at least minimum of two more games. They still essentially, except for these two guys, have everybody available. And Rob Cooper outcoached them. He put together, he did, when you are playing in a big game, and Ollie Marmol, who's now the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. Ollie had to be on this show 10, 15 times in the 2 years he was the manager of the Spikes. I've told the story, and I'll retell it, about the Tony La Russa theory on how to play a big game. And the Tony La Russa theory on how to play a big game. Spikes had a chance to win the championship, which, by the way, they did. And he brings over, and this is the old cliche, napkins. Well, he wrote out on four napkins lineups. And look, we talked so often over the couple of years he was here. He comes over to the table I'm sitting at, and he says, "Hey, Steve, hey," he says, "these are the four lineups I put together." He says, "What do you think?" You know, just to chit chat, not that I'm going to swing opinion. He just wanted to talk to somebody. And I'm going through bang, bang, bang. And the fourth one, I said, "You know what?" I said, he had a catcher who was a terrific hitter as the DH. DH or first base, one of the two. I think it was DH. And he had an infielder who was a terrific offensive player who had never played outfield, starting in left field. He said, "What do you think of that one?" I said, "You know what that one is?" I said, "That's your best offensive lineup." I said, "By a wide margin." He said, "He hits with power, he just plain hits." And he looked at me, he said, "And you know what, Steve?" He says, "That's the Tony La Russa way. You always start a big game with your best offensive lineup, and then you go to your defensive players late in the game if you need them." And that was the lineup, by the way, he went with, and they came out of the gate, scored six runs, and easily won the title. But that goes back to today now. That's exactly what Rob Cooper did for Penn State baseball. He put out his best offensive lineup, and then in the final three innings, he put his defensive players out there. He hit every button right today. Every button right. Did you hear about that high school down in Georgia? In fact, it's the high school that Trevor Lawrence went to. They're going to put QR codes in the back of the uniforms so you can click onto it and it'll bring up the information for recruiting on the guy. Okay, here's one for you. Why don't you just give him a number, put a nameplate on there, give everybody a roster, and they can Google it. What's so hard about that?
This seems like just a very, very bad idea.
In other words, just don't think. Stop thinking so much.
What do you think Huddle is for? Players post their highlights all the time.
I know.
It's easier than ever to look at players now.
It's just, look, I admire, like, the thought process. I do. You know, you're thinking, okay, modern, a little bit out of the box. I'm fine with that. But then you have to sit back and somebody has to say, hey, guys, it's actually doing it this way is perfectly fine. Let's not overcomplicate it. Let's not think too much. That's what it comes down to. Also, one other note, and I'll put the Bob Cousy story to rest after this. J.J. Redick, who had made the statement about, he says, you win two rounds, you win the NBA title back in his day, right? So I decided to go back and look at Chris Paul, because that was a part of the conversation, and J.J. Redick. You know what I found? Redick, in his career in the NBA, only played on two teams that ever made it past the second round. In other words, won two rounds. Chris Paul has been playing in the NBA since 2005. You know how many times he has advanced past the second round where they won two rounds? Twice. So, JJ, it's obviously a lot more difficult to win two series in a row because the vast majority of your career, your teams never did it. Cousy did it 6 years in a row with his team. Couldn't have been that bad. All right. Come back with more in a moment. Matt is mad. I feel like I'm dealing with a hornet's nest today. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, good news, because the news is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Matt needs to cool off. He's angry.
I'm just glad the Heat lost, but I also hate that the Celtics won. So I'll be rooting for the Warriors in the NBA Finals.
They were 7 for 45 in threes last night.
Again, more awful basketball.
Man, yeah, I agree with you. That's not good basketball. Totally agree.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties, by the way. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department that takes care of the life of the vehicle. It's one-stop vehicle shopping. It doesn't matter whether it's routine, inspections, something difficult, diagnostics, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Celtics beat the Heat, Matt's mad. Sixers aren't playing, Matt's mad. Embiid tweets that he wants to be a member of the Heat with Jimmy Butler, Matt's mad. Donaldson gets suspended, Matt's mad. Is there anything that's making you happy?
To clarify, I'm mad at Donaldson, not the MLB, because he should be suspended.
I mean, you're angry. and the four inning players on the IL.
Yeah. Yeah, injuries are starting to worry me a little bit now.
No, they're gonna in the first four innings of a game, they're gonna miss his bat. I'm just needling you.
No, senor!
All right. Penn State baseball won today. It's a double elimination tournament in Omaha. They will face either Rutgers or Purdue tomorrow. Matt Wood did it again, big three-run homer. The pitching was outstanding today for Penn State. They only had to use two, which was tremendous. Tyler Schindeldecker was tremendous, went 5 2/3 in the game. And then what's interesting is Travis Loonsman then went out there and he went 3 1/3. He faced 14 batters. He threw 79 pitches. He had 9-3-2 counts and he struck out 7. How about that? How about that? Penn State won, beat Iowa. That's an upset. Beat him. Final was 5-2. They have either Purdue or Rutgers tomorrow. It'll probably start right in the neighborhood of 1:45, 2 o'clock. All right, so let's get to some of our guests for today. We got plenty. We got Jeff Byers a little bit later. We got Chris Carlin on today. Tomorrow, John Harrah's on the show. Yeah, before Matt goes on vacation, a little Johnny H.
Love it.
Got the King tomorrow, right?
As far as maybe. I know, we got the King tomorrow.
Maybe.
I haven't heard from him.
And then you're off next week.
I am off next week. We'll have no show Monday because it's Memorial Day. Then Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, the suit will be in with our new buddy Max helping as well as he continues to learn the show a little bit. And then Wednesday, Max. Chad Hershberger will be in.
Great. I always enjoy that.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, today I think today is Micah Parsons' birthday, right? I believe it is. I believe it's Micah Parsons' birthday today. Yesterday was the anniversary of Josiah Vieira's birthday. Josiah would have been 18 years old. You know, the fact that he made it to 14 and a half was remarkable. And it's a test. I think it's a test. I think being around the baseball club prolonged his life, and him being around the baseball club made their lives better. So,
yeah, had a special place for that when I saw that I knew his birthday was coming up. So I did a Spikes game, and it was cool. It was fun to watch. It was really neat what he did.
Yeah. So you can't say enough good things about it. His grandfather Dave is just one of the nicest guys. Dave still comes around.
That's awesome. That's
and
good.
The opener's next week, by the way.
That's right.
They're at Williamsport on Thursday to open. And then they are... Yes, Micah is 22 today, by the way. I did have it right.
You did.
Yeah. See, you doubt. It's all you do is doubt me. Everything's doubt.
I had no doubt, but
doubt.
I was just checking.
No, it's a lot of doubt. No, a lot of doubt. I always... but yeah. Yeah, so yeah, today Micah's 22 today. How about that? Good for him. Yeah, Micah Parsons, an easy guy to like. He really is. All right, we just talked about Penn State baseball. This is the first time, by the way, since 2008 that Penn State has won a game in the Big Ten tournament. Now, over at Beard Field, a 25-win improvement. They went from 7 wins in 2021 to 32 wins this season. And the head coach is Clarissa Crowell. Coach C, welcome back. It's great to have you back on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me back. And to start, I would like to give a shout-out to Penn State baseball coach Coop and his staff because I'm in my office and had to catch the tail end. Had some meetings, but managed to catch the tail end of that game. And it was just awesome to see them get that victory today against Iowa. So congrats.
Well, you had a lot of victories like that this year. you went from 7 wins to 32, a 25-win improvement. You take over a program, and when you look in and you meet with the players for the first time, they automatically become your team. But the question is, will that now your team buy into what you want to do? What kind of buy-in did you see from this team from 1 year to the next that maybe changed what you wanted to do?
Right. You know, year one, as we all know, it was a challenging year for a lot of reasons. And coming in during COVID, where you didn't really have the opportunity to get to know your players, and we were so restricted and limited on the amount of times that we could spend with them. So, you know, year one was a little difficult from that standpoint, but, you know, year two, our staff and I came into this year and we knew what it was going to take, and we have to build a culture, you know. And we were dead set on, in order to get this thing turned around, we've got to build relationships. And I think we were very intentional going into this year, working on that and getting to know our student-athletes better and vice versa, our student-athletes knowing us. And, you know, I think the camaraderie and just the energy of our team this year was a lot different than it was 2 years ago. And I think that everyone could see that out on the field. But all the credit to our student athletes, you know, for sticking with our coaching staff. And I will say, you know, year one, they didn't really know our standards and our expectations. But year two, they knew that, you know. And in order for us to turn this around, there was going to have to be buy-in in all aspects. And I believe that we had that. So what a fun year. I was just telling someone a little earlier today that you don't really realize how awesome it is until you, because you're always focusing on one game and then the next game. But, you know, kind of at the end of the season, we had an opportunity to reflect on the year, and it sure was fun. And I had a lot of fun this year with our student athletes. So a great year for sure, and excited about the future.
21 years ago, Kelly McCann won 22 games at Penn State. Well, it finally got equaled. Bailey Parshall was able to do that. 22-9 record this year. And opponents only hit 199 against her. What kind of confidence does that instill in a team when somebody like that runs out to the mound game in and game out?
Oh, goodness. Needless to say, our team was very confident anytime Bailey took the mound. And, you know, it was just a different feel when she was out there. And I just so much credit to Bailey. She really did have a phenomenal year. And obviously, I've only been with her now for 2 years, but just to see the growth that she had, and honestly, first and foremost, as a leader for our team, it was outstanding to see. You know, I think physically, and I told her this when I came here, I said, you have all the tools to be an elite pitcher, and she showed that this year. And I think the one vast improvement in her game was just her mental toughness. I thought Bailey was very just gritty this year. She's very resilient. You know, Bailey is the type of pitcher that she's a perfectionist by nature, right? And she wants the strikeouts. But this year, I think she really understood. I think she matured from a pitching standpoint. You know, she was okay with one pitch out. She was okay to only have to throw 5 to 6 pitches in an inning because we're getting hitters out earlier in the count. So what a great year for that young lady. And she deserves all the success that she had this year.
And her battery mate, Cassie Lindmark, what kind of job did she do behind the plate? And obviously, what kind of job, Coach C, did she do at the plate?
Oh, my goodness. You know, Cassie was just incredible for our team this year on both sides of the ball, both defensively. Defensively, you know, when we recruited Cassie, we knew the catcher we were going to get. You know, we weren't too sure what she was going to be able to do for us offensively, but we knew that, you know, she was going to be a great catcher. She does a great job of framing and receiving. She threw runners out for us this year. And she had a great relationship with not just Bailey, but with our entire pitching staff. But when you look at her offensive numbers, I mean, she hit 400. You know, she just had a phenomenal year. She ended up being our leadoff hitter this year. And we don't win as many games as we win without Cassie Lindmark in the lineup. And she was just fantastic for us this year.
It's not just the 400, which is a phenomenal number. She was .508 on base percentage. So it wasn't just her going up there and taking her hacks. She figured out a whole bunch of ways to get on base.
Oh, my gosh. That kid, she did. You know, whether it was drawing walks or whether it was getting hit by a pitch, I mean, she was just a machine in the box. And she was lights out for us. And, you know, she received some awards and some honors at the end of the year that was well-deserved as far as being an all-Big Ten player. She's all-region. You know, so we were very thankful that Cassie decided to be a Penn Stater.
You want to keep advancing all the time, make the program better. So you improve by 25. Well, not only that, but you get into the Big Ten tournament and you're able to get a walk-off win over Indiana. What kind of emotion was that in terms of another step in the program?
You know what? It was huge, but I'll be honest with you. I think in the moment.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm
go ahead.
Sorry. But probably disappointing you didn't win the next one. I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think with our team, you know, we kind of stole Coach Franklin's mentality about going 1-0. And I really think that resonated really well with our kids. And honestly, I think they just played every game and just focused on the game. I don't even know if they really – if they never made moments too big this year. And even in that tournament, you know, for them, it was just kind of going out and competing. It was just another game. And I think after the fact, when we were able to get that win, we kind of knew what we did. But, I mean, our kids took this season in stride. You know, we focused on one game at a time. They never made moments too big. And I also think that was – a huge part of our success is we were able to, whether win or lose, we were able to just stay focused on that next game. And I think it was no different in the tournament. You know, going into this season, I will say we had the goal of, hey, let's make it to the Big Ten tournament. And here we go, you know, 56 games later. And as we were on the verge of potentially getting a bid into the NCAA tournament, you know, our RPI ended up being at 55, which is the best that it's been since 2011. And that team had an RPI of 47 and they got into the tournament.
Yes.
So to say that we exceeded expectations, I think we definitely did. And I think the most important thing about the success that our team had, our program had, was our kids believe and they know how good of a team that we are. And I know that they're so excited because we're bringing everybody back. They're so excited about what we're going to be able to do next year.
And part of that is Lilia Crotham, who ended up making the Big Ten all-defensive team. We talk about defense up the middle. I've already talked about your catcher. Defense up the middle. What did she mean to choking off runs by how she played in center field?
I say this all the time, and I mean it. Lilia is the best outfielder in our conference, period. I mean, she is probably the best outfielder. I've you know, been coaching a long time and had a lot of great outfielders. She's the best outfielder I've ever coached or had on my team. And we're probably not winning a few games if Lilia's not out there in center field. And she is just she's just a rock star out there. I mean, she makes catches that I'm just thinking to myself, nobody else in the country is making that catch or throwing that kid out. I mean, and you know what? She plays so hard out there, and that's what it takes. You know, she's just very gritty defensively, and she definitely is the anchor to our outfield. And I think Lil, just her growth over the course of the year, you know, from a defensive standpoint, was outstanding for us. So yeah, just a lot of kudos to Lil, as she was just fantastic for us out there in center field.
Getting everybody back is obviously a plus. So what do you need in this off season? Because we all know that you can make your game in the off season, and whatever little refinement you need, you can do in the off season. So what do you need to see from your players and the leadership of these players when you're not around?
Yeah, I think, you know, our kids know that. We told them all, hey, we've got to take a couple of weeks off, and just kind of just from a mentality standpoint, too. It's a long season, but I think our kids are pretty motivated, and I think they know what we need to do next year, and I know that they're going to be focusing on, you know, offensively how they can individually make some adjustments to get better. And you know, I will say defensively our team was great. I mean, we went into the season with the expectation of a 960 fielding percentage, and, you know, we're right up there around 970 and finished second in the Big Ten, which I was so proud of them for, especially because I'm a very defensive-minded coach. I think pitching and defense wins championships, and, you know, so I think that they are well aware that, hey, we've got to make some adjustments in the box and do some things a little bit better, but I know and I trust that they're going to go home and work on that as we continue to still work on improving defensively.
Well, since I'm talking with Coach C, I'll talk about two C's I talk about all the time, confidence and consistency along the way. What did you see in the consistency with your team, and then what did the confidence of this season that you think do for the program?
I just think their approach to every single game, you know, it never really changed. They didn't make moments too big. They really just came out with the mindset of, hey, we kept it small. How do we win this pitch? How do we win this inning? And I think, you know, they did a really good job this year of when we hit some hard times or, you know, had some losses, they never let that really get to them, and they just focused on the next game. And I commend them for that, because that's, you know, that's really tough to do. But the confidence piece this year for our kids is definitely something that was a lot of fun to watch. And obviously, when you're successful, confidence comes. But we really try to, you know, we talk about mental toughness all the time as a team. And, you know, what does that look like? And what it means is, a part of it is, hey, when you're not successful, can we be resilient? And can we bounce back? And can we focus on that next pitch, whether we're in the box? And I really do think that they did a good job of that. They didn't let their failures get to them. And, you know, they just continued to stay focused on what was ahead. And they did a great job of that. And I think another key to their success this year was, I think they just had fun playing with one another.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it.
Yeah, that really is. My last question to you, Coach C, was quite simple. You know, when you talk to players, hey, what about your 10-game hitting streak? You know, you don't ask that question, only not because of luck, because you know players are in that moment, at-bat by at-bat, play by play. That's really how they think. Now, looking back on the season for you as a coach, was there a game or a series where you sat back and said, you know what, I think we've got something here?
Gosh, you know, I don't know if we said that to one another, and I think it was just because we were just continuing to focus on that next game, and we just believed in our kids this year. You know, I don't think it was that one moment or that one game, because on the year we had so many great moments. And I think the one thing that we did learn was that, hey, at any given moment, any one of our student athletes are going to step up in the big moment. And they really did continue to do that. And I guess if I had to think back, you know, when we played at home at, first time playing at home in front of our fans in 2 years, and we were on a little bit of a winning streak at that point, and it was just Maggie Finnegan would step up, or Lexi Black would step
right.
up, or Lauren Marcotte.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe at that point it was, good gosh, you know, at any given moment our kids are stepping up, and they really did continue to do that all the way up to the very end. So it was just it was a pretty awesome year, and our kids were able to do a lot of great things. And, you know, the other great thing about this year is just the support that our program has, mm-hmm. and the sense of pride that I think we were able to reinstill in our program. And not that it wasn't there, but to see the support of the donors and the alumni base and, you know, our Penn State family here, it was pretty incredible. But just a lot of credit to our student athletes and my coaching staff, because they you know, they put in a lot of hours, and fortunately it was just a really good year for our program, and definitely a good step going into the right direction for the future.
Congratulations on a great season to you, your staff, and your team, and also your support staff. And best of luck in the future, because obviously the program's on the right track. Congratulations on that. And thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Clarissa Crowell, head coach, Penn State softball. It was just pleasant for me to talk to somebody positive, optimistic.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Never brought up Joel Embiid's name, never brought up Josh Donaldson's name, never didn't bring up Garrett Cole, didn't bring up the Miami Heat. It's all positive. I don't even have to bring those names up to you, and immediately, boom, you are down the rabbit hole. So somebody said to me today, Joel Embiid said they need another star, and they said, well, what do you think he means by that? And I said, James Harden. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 630 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 630 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.